of family and friends. It is so good to be connected again. I just, again, thank God for this virtual platform. Thank you, whether you are part of Ebenezer locally or you're looking at us from states away. Thank you for connecting with us. To our visitors, we bless you. Maybe you're a first-time visitor, we bless you. And we have things on our website that you can go to get more information. Maybe you're looking on, you're not saved. Please, please consider Jesus. He is more than enough. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, that you will be saved. In dark times like these, we need Jesus. Even if things are going well, we still need Christ. He is our everything. And so I just want to encourage you today. I want to thank you all for staying connected to ebcnc.com. I thank you for just even when we're going through the services and our chat is open, that you can write down things, or if you're not a typist, but you're connecting with us. And we ask you to please, please continue to pray for us. We covet, we need your prayers. Also, we thank God for all the things that he's put on our website. We encourage you to get that app because you can get notifications of our upcoming events. On Mondays, we got Monday Manna. Tuesday, noonday Bible study. We also, on October 18th, have a general church conference that's coming up. We've got Wednesday Bible studies. We've got Thursday Bible study. We're in the book of 1 John, our in-person at 6 o'clock at Ebenezer. So many things to edify and encourage us in our walk with the Lord. As we're continuing with that subject matter, renew our mind. As always, just want to thank you for just being people who have a heart for God, walking in the Lord. Thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. We've been blessed at Ebenezer to reach out and bless families. We've got missions. We've got a lot of things that are going on. And it's all because we've learned not to give grudgingly or out of necessity, but we can be cheerful in our giving. And I just thank you. I thank you for your walk as we walk together in the Lord. Well, I'm thinking about the message. I'm telling you, as we get back into 1 Kings chapter 17 and we look at Elijah and that widow, and we learn to renew our mind. Well, let's prepare ourselves. See you soon.
I'll be reading 1 Peter 4, chapter 7th verse to the 11th. Okay. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to it another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing be to his word.
Oh Lord, my God, when I know some wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thou power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, God, to thee. sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Can you put in the chat, amen, amen, or use those emoticons, those clapping emoticons. I know you're looking for him now. I just love him. He is so, so wonderful. Well, we're getting back into this section of Renew Our Mind. And I'm telling you, the Lord's just been dealing with my heart that we can learn of him, that we can grow in him. And I pray that you're walking in the Spirit of God and learning how God teaches you. Today, before we go any further, we're just going to get in a word of prayer and just think about how good God has been to us all. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy. Lord, we just love you. You are amazing. Now, I pray for those who may be viewing or listening in that don't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, as we approach this word and this topic of Renew Our Mind, We need you. I ask you to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us in all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we get back into that whole thought pattern, remember our memory scripture that we've been focused on, you're going to hear it a lot more. So go with me to Romans 12 and 2. We're reading it aloud so we can get it in our mind and get it down into our heart, that it just flows. So read it with me, Romans 12 and 2, please. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's move on. I told you that this was going to be a three-parter. This is the third part to this 1 Kings 17. And I want you to look at that 20th verse. 1 Kings 17 and that 20th verse. It reads, "Then he cried out to the Lord," that's Elijah, "and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" Our title again is Learning Through Obedience, Part 3. Learning Through Obedience, Part 3. Our time frame is about 874 to 853 BC. So much has happened up to this point. Remember, Elijah is celebrated, in a sense, by God to go forth in a dark time. And I say that because Ahab is king at the present time with his wife Jezebel, the queen. She has brought in Baal worshiping into Israel, and God is not pleased. Ahab is a weak king in a sense, and his wife is stepping up, bringing more things that are contrary to God. And because of that, God brings this mighty man, Elijah, and he has to speak a famine, a drought upon the land. And consequently, that famine and that drought go together, and it's going to be 3+ years that this is going to occur. We have visualized and looked at Elijah leaving the area of the proclamation, going to the outskirts, and there God blessed him, and he was fed by the ravens, by the brook, remember that, the water, bread and meat, morning and the evening, God provided, and then he continued on, and he encountered this widow of Zarephath. We brought out that this is actually the home area of Jezebel, and this is Baal worship, all kinds of things that are going on there. Last time we were focusing in on 1 Kings 17 and 12, so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for it, and myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Remember that Elijah comes in, really challenges her. We dealt with the tension that was in that she had to trust this word from this man that she did not know. But you know what? God blessed her. The flour continued on and the oil continued on. It fed Elijah. It fed her. It fed her son. It fed her whole household. Just some points in review so we can transition into our lesson today. God can use you. How far are you willing to go? A hopeless situation, decision time, and God will provide. As we transition into today's portion of scripture, it is happy times at the widow's house with her son and Elijah and those that are around. They are eating well in the midst of this drought and famine. God is blessing them, as said before, with this endless supply of flour and oil. And we go into 1 Kings 17:17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath in him left. Wow. Here's the first point. Life comes at you fast. Yes, life comes at you fast. There was a campaign that was popularized in 2004 by Nationwide. And Nationwide brought this out, that life comes at us fast. We don't know what's going to occur. And they brought this ad forth to let us know that we need an insurance just in case something would come up. So Nationwide would be on our side because life comes at us fast. But notice here, it's true in 1 Kings 17:17. 16. I want to focus on a portion of it. It said, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. I'm telling you, life is challenging. As I said before, we don't know what comes next. And this widow's son that we were introduced, remember, with the flour and the oil, she was getting ready to take some sticks and have their last meal. Elijah comes in, changes the situation by a word from the Lord. Things are going well, happy times. And now he gets sick so much that he dies. Elijah is in the house. The miracle man is in the house. The widow that's been blessed of God, the son, those that are around are seeing a quick turn of events. Solomon, the wisest man under Jesus, he struggled with this thought that we don't understand what's going to come. He writes in Ecclesiastes 8:6, life is hard. Any amens? You can put amens in the chat. But there is a time and a place for everything. Though no one can tell the future, it says we cannot control the wind or determine the day of our death. There is no escape in time of war, and no one can hide behind evil. I noticed all this and I thought seriously about what was going on in the world. Why does one person have the power to hurt another? Learning through obedience. We've got to renew our mind to understand we have to walk with in faith in God and his grace and mercy, because we don't know what's going to happen. We have to trust him. We have to stay in prayer. We have to seek his face. And it's the same thing. Elijah is close to God. He's hearing the voice of the Lord, but he did not know this was going to occur. I'm going to show you 1 Kings 17:18. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Here's another point. It's bigger than you. Yes, it's big. Can you repeat that? Say, it's bigger than me. Can you put it in the chat? My quick type is out there. It's bigger than me. It is. We've got to understand that in every situation, there are multiple parts. There are things that are going on. And I'm telling you, it's bigger than you. The other day, we were in our in-person service, and I had a sister in the Lord, and she lost her balance and fell out. She had some things that were going on with her physically. And in the midst of that, our congregational nurse came, and we had another nurse to come, and they began to talk to her and minister to her. We prayed over her, and while she was reviving, in a sense, they began to talk about their families. And in the conversation, they found out that they were actually first cousins, that their daddies were brothers. They did not know that they attended the same church, and they just set a pew apart from each other. I'm telling you, it's bigger than you. God has a plan that whatever we go through, whatever struggles we go through, God is working out this bigger puzzle. We can't understand it so many times, but God is faithful. We must grow in the Lord and renew our minds to embrace this. Look at this scripture. The widow blames Elijah that he actually caused her son to die. That's all she knows at this point. You came into my life. She's still dealing with the death of her husband. That the grief process, and there were happy days with the food that was flowing, and now her son, it seems to be her only son, is dead, is gone. We're not sure of the sin that she committed. She goes to Elijah. She says, are you here to convict me in a sense of my sin? But we do know that Baal worship is in the area. She probably had some idols that were in the house. She had probably done some things. Baal was known as the storm god. And because the heavens now would not rain forth, he wasn't powerful in that. But he was also known as the god of sexuality. And so we don't know exactly what was being involved, but whatever had gone on in her life, now she's being convicted of that. E. Henson, a notable theologian, he gives us thoughts on this situation. Listen to this. She was haunted by the superstition that the presence of a man of God in her house had drawn God's attention to her sin that in the past had gone unnoticed. Now she was receiving retribution for her sins in the death of her son. Have you ever been there trying to figure out what God is up to and things are not working out right? And so you begin to look at your life and you're trying to figure out what's going on. This is why I believe that many run away from the word. They don't want to stay in the word. They're not in the fellowship because they're concerned. They're hoping that their sins will go unnoticed. There ought to be some ouches out there. That they're concerned, that they're hoping by staying away from the anointing and the power of God that somehow they're going to be able to go through their life and not be touched by situations and issues. Moses makes a statement, and I want you to get this in Numbers 32:23 concerning this. But if you do not do so, he tells them, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Can you put in the chat, it will find you out? Yes. And this widow, she's concerned that her sin has found her out. Romans 6:23 speaks of this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must renew our mind and never forget that God is gracious. Can you put in the chat, he's gracious and he's merciful? Can you say that he's gracious and he's merciful to us? Psalms 116:5 really gives us the character of God. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, I love this scripture. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It may seem tough now, but never forget God is on your side. Romans 8:28, you know it. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, learning through obedience. Look at this next verse, 1 Kings 17:19. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? Here's another point. Take your burdens to the Lord. Yeah, see, we hear the heart cry of Elijah at this point. He's walking in faith, but God has not revealed. God has not told him what he's up to. David Phelps composed these powerful lyrics. If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord. Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust him through your doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Yes, yes. This is Elijah. Look at this, 1 Kings 17:19 again. He said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room. Now you got to picture this. You got to picture this. Things have been going well. The flour has been continues to multiply, and the oil, and now this child dies. How can this child die in the midst of the anointed one, the one that hears from God? God has been blessing, but yet Elijah still understands, I got to take my issues, my struggles, and he has the child in his arms, and he goes up into the upper room. Now this is a awesome picture, because remember Elijah coming into the town, the widow has invited him into her home, and they would usually have a guest room up on the second floor within those types of villages, and that's where Elijah was residing for this period of time. But notice this powerful intercession, 1 Kings 17:20. Elijah cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? Have you ever been there where you just had to talk to God? You just had to lay all the cards out and say, God, I don't understand. God, you blessed me over and over. You were there with the ravens at the brook, God. You were there when I pronounced judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. God, you've been with me this whole process, but now this has happened. The flour has been multiplied and the oil has been multiplied. But God, I wasn't expecting this. Anybody ever been there learning living through obedience. God, why me? Why this situation? But he cries out to God. This is a word God put on my heart. Many times God does not let us know what the plan is. We just need to renew our minds to learn through obedience. Yes, learning through obedience. Eliphaz is trying to encourage Job in his calamities. He says this of God in Job 5:18, "For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole." And you remember, poor Job, he had lost everything in his life, in a sense. Just his wife is there, and he cries out in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." Look at this, 1 Kings 17:21. "And he stretched himself out," that's Elijah, "on the child three times." Somebody say three. You can put it in the chat. "Three times, and cried out to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.'" Here's another point. Asking for the impossible. Yes. Asking for the impossible. I'm telling you, learning through obedience. This process is tough here, because God is going to take us on some journeys, some faith journeys, some trust journeys. We talked about this scripture on last Sunday in Matthew 19:26. "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" That is good news, that we can know that when we're walking in the Lord, even the impossible can be possible. Even we don't understand, God understands everything. But when you have a connection with God, are there any hallelujahs out there? You know God can do it. Oh, I'm telling you, he never leaves us nor forsakes us in those trying times, in those valley times, in those dark times. Some of you have gone through bereavement. Some of you have gone through sickness and surgeries. But aren't you glad our God is faithful and he teaches us? Elijah remembered all the things that God had already done. He remembered all the things, how God moved forth in miraculous ways. And some of you need to embrace the fact, if God did it in the past, he can do it in again. If he did it last year, he can do it this year. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think, learning through obedience. Look at this scripture again, 1 Kings 17:21. "And he stretched himself out on the child three times." Oh, what a picture. Theologians have dealt with this. If he actually laid down hand to hand, nose to nose, eyes to eyes, how did this process, or was it just him reaching over the child and kind of putting his hands over? However you visualize it, he did it three times. Yeah, there's some theologians that's walking with me. Three is a significant number. We often compare it to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This whole Trinitarian process, he did it three times. This is amazing. Look at that second part. He says, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." I'm talking about asking the impossible. When you know that you serve a God that's more than enough, you can ask for the impossible. Are there any witnesses out there that know that God can do it? What are you willing to go through that you can renew your mind to come to this point of asking God the impossible? Can I give you a scripture from the New Testament? Jesus spoke on this in Mark 11:22. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Mark 11:23, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says," learning through obedience. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." I'm telling you, we've got to trust the Lord. Look at 1 Kings 17:22. "Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived." 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.'" Oh, my goodness. This is a point that the Lord is listening. Yes, the Lord is listening. There ought to be some praise, right? You, wherever you are, your living room or your lunch break or your dinner break, if you're looking at it, just lift up your hands and just wave. The Lord is listening. Has your mind been renewed to the point of knowing that the Lord is actually listening to you? I know we hear testimony after testimony. We go, you know what? God heard him and God heard her. But do you know know that God is listening to your prayers, the things that you are praying when we step out on faith and we trust him? God put this on my heart. He said, many of our prayers are prayed out of habit, but not true faith and power. Can I say it again? Many of our prayers are prayed out of habit, but not true faith and power. So often it happens in my life. We pray out of habit, but we don't think about the one that we're praying to. And consequently, we don't enact our faith, and there's no power in that. But what would happen when the body of Christ can start praying with faith and power? How would your family change if the body of Christ, if we could start praying with faith and power? The Apostle James, in the dealing with the faith and power, he writes in the Epistle, James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Can you put in the chat? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Elijah is walking in this. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I say that again? The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm going to say it one more time for you. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Learning through obedience. I don't want you to forget this scripture, this 1 Kings 17:22, that second part. And the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. I'm telling you, God is doing something. I believe that as we look at this scripture, this is a literal sense. The child was dead, and now his soul is given back to him. He awakens, he revives. But if I could just stop here and just make a spiritual a connotation here, I believe that we've got struggles that are within the fellowship, within the body of Christ, that we've got people that should be alive, but yet they're dead men and dead women walking. Yes, yes, yes. They're walking around, but there's no life in them. But where are the prayer warriors? Where are those that are calling out to the Lord that God will renew us and revive us again, that we can get on fire with the Spirit of the Lord working on the inside? W.P. Mackey, the hymnist, wrote, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Let me get this final scripture in this chapter and pull it together. 1 Kings 17:24. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Final point. When will you really get it? Yes. When will you really get it? Now, I want to show you something in this scripture again, 1 Kings 17:24. It said, the woman said to Elijah. So Elijah's been there, but remember the flour and the oil that has been multiplied. Elijah's changed her life. Her son dies. But notice she says, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. This lets us know that the flour and the oil miracle, it did not take her over to believing that Elijah was truly the man of God and spoke the truth. But when her son died, oh my goodness, there ought to be some shouts of praise when it got real close to her, when her beloved passed away, when she couldn't do anything, it was over and done for. She knew that all life had left. And when that man of God took him up to the upper room and connected with the Lord and brought him back alive, she said, now I know that you got a word. Now I know that you are the man of God. I'm so glad to know that God will do whatever he needs to do to get us to a point of renewing our mind, that we can learn through obedience and we can trust the Lord. What a wonderful story. And I could talk much about this whole extrapolation of what God is up to, but please understand, I don't want to leave you here in this 17th chapter, because there is a better Elijah. Yeah, yes, yes, we're excited about Elijah. He's going to do more miracles, and we're encouraged by this widow of Zarephath. She gives us hope. But in the New Testament, there was another father.
Yeah, there was a father who lost a son. And somebody walk with me. I see the son became sick with the sin of this world, with everything that was going on. And he ended up at a place called Calvary. The father turned away briefly because of the sins of the world. And Jesus, that's who I'm talking about, cried out in Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, my God. God, why has you forsaken me? He died on the cross for our sins and our griefs. But instead of taking him to the upper chamber, they took him to a cold tomb. There ought to be some shouts because we know where the story is going. But aren't you glad that on the third day that the Son gets up for you and me with all power and all glory, learning through obedience? Some call him the lily in the valley and the bright and the morning star. But I'm so glad that Jesus is our elder brother. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. And now we can say that we know Jesus is the truth. See, the widow's son would die again. But Jesus, God's son, lives forevermore. And now is seated on the right hand of the Father, praying for us. Can you put in the chat? Praying. He taught us what learning through obedience was all about. And because of his obedience to the Father, we have freedom in our lives. Saints of God, I thank God for Elijah and this widow and the son. But I thank God for Jesus, that he gives us miracles every day. Just every day, those who are saved. We need to thank God for the miracle of salvation, that he saved us in spite of ourselves. If you're looking on, listening on, and you're not saved, why wait? Scriptures are clear. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Will you receive that gift today? Just ask him into your heart. I'm telling you, he has paid the price. Think about all the things that you've gone through in your life. Has God been trying to get you to this point of renewing your mind to really know that he is Lord, he is God? What will it take? It took that widow, that second miracle to occur, of her son dying and then him being brought back to life, for her to say, now I know. Oh, I pray today that you can say, now I know, that Christ come in your heart via the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, that you go forth. And I encourage you, connect with a fellowship. Those that are listening, viewing, and connect. Make sure that you're connected to the body of Christ. Finally, there's some of you, life comes at you fast. You're going through some stuff. You've been trying to figure it out. You were like Elijah. You're walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden this comes. You're like the widow, and there were good times. The food is flourishing. Things are going well, and then this comes. And now you're just trying to figure it out. I want you to let you know God is working it out. Actually, God has already worked it out. He's saying, trust him. Renew your mind. Learn through obedience. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this word, Lord. I thank you for this entire chapter that you're teaching us, Lord. You're teaching us how to learn from you, Lord. Oftentimes we just look at the good things, but Lord, you can use those things that are undesirable, God. And to be honest, many of us, our faith was increased in those tough times that we could not do it ourselves, but we had to trust you. Thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Lord, we thank you for your presence, even as you used Elijah and he stretched out three times. We thank you. Your son got up on that third day for us, God, that we can walk in authority and power in you. Help us, Lord, to renew our mind. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand, oh, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night, 'cause he shall restore my soul, even forevermore. My help, my help, my help, all of my help cometh from the shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand, oh, 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 the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall restore my soul, even forevermore. Yeah.